I would like today, my concern, why I shift from mathematical economics to regressionist, because I want to understand the brusque change of vision of the French economy. French economy until the 70s was a miracle. Americans came to see how mixed economy was successful. And you have a long decade of the French institutions. And neoclassical economics that postulate the permanence of institutions does not explain. So I became regulationist by the question I was raising. My first research was how to behave when you have radical uncertainty. I nearly quit macroeconomics because with radical uncertainty you have a totally new phenomenon which cannot be captured by neoclassical theory. And the second argument is, can we have a joint theory which explains growth and crisis? Because in economic theory, you have a switch growth regime or crisis regime. But you don't have any explanation, very few explanation of the continuity. So today, I will, and my lectures will be to try to convince you that there is a way of understanding structural changes, but you absolutely need to embed economic analysis into history, sociology, and political economy. I will try to argue that if you have a pure economic analysis, you will understand nearly nothing of contemporary modern capitalism. Today I will speak about European integration. Why? Because I will insist, of course, you have big opposition of interest between Greece and Northern Europe. But my argument is this conflict is to be attributed also to contrasted vision of the world. And this vision of the world do shape interest, do shape strategy. Therefore, my big discovery has been you need absolutely to open the formation of representation in order to understand the macro. Some of you, and I was very pleased to remind my early age, I'm known for having studied the Fordism. And why I shift from comparative analysis of American, French, German, Korean, Taiwanese capitalists to Japan. Because the national state was largely autonomous. You had Pax Americana, you had a rather stable system, and if you had a divergence of inflation rates, you can adjust by fixed but ajustable exchange rate. So it was a wonderful example in which you had a lot of autonomy in the construction. And unfortunately, the regression theory was built to understand this period for 45 to 73, a very specific period where everybody could try to make compatible democratization along with modernization of capitalism. But immediately as this happened, you had a complete new configuration. Starting from the early 70s, all the firms want to export their production. So the first move is opening of the world economy. The second one is change in the foreign direct investment. It's just that production is become international. Then you have financial opening, and of course, you have property right opening. So in a sense, you have forces that totally transcend the domestic space. And what is very, very important, once upon a time, why for this was so simple? Capitalists need workers, and workers need capitalists. As soon as you open the ability of capitalists to export all over the world, they don't need any more workers. And there, you destroy the economic possibility of a capital labor compromise due to precisely the internationalization. Third discovery of regulation, everybody is speaking about globalization. But when we live in Europe, the main phenomenon is Europeanization. In the sense, operating directives are playing more and more role in the domestic organization of economies. And the big negotiations at World Trade Organization are a new stage, but they do not define basically what is happening in national states. And the big difficulty, this is why I engage in this research on Europe, is that you have a nestedness of various institutions. Let me give you an example of what is it. We were very lucky because macro is central
open the national state. If you see a textbook in macro in the US, it's not an open economy. So it's the national state. So macro and national state go hand in hand. Wonderful. The international system is very permissive, and regions are the projection of the fascist regime on regions. This was the nightmare of France. You had the indigenous move firms try to go to the world market. And the configuration we get now is totally different. In the sense, you have landers-like competitive blocks organizing the struggle for competitiveness. You have sectoral mechanisms, you have the world car industry, we have transnational, and you have regional zone of integration. And the big drama is that all the institutional forms are nested into the national state. So you can no more use the national state. You have absolutely to understand how three levels do interact. And to be frank, I think social theory do not have the theory in order to understand this nestedness of institution. It is totally new. Macroeconomics continue to think that the national state is the only operative one. It's right if we are in the US and China. It's no more the case if we are in France, because by definition, the nature of the integration into an open economy is plainly definitive. Therefore, what is my interpretation? It was a wonderful challenge, and it kept me alive and active during two decades. Could regulation theory be extended to this new epoch? Yes, yes, I will try to incidentally. Was it possible to detect the source of crisis? Because now all my neoclassical colleagues are experts. All of them became experts in the crisis theory. I told you, evident. No money without sovereign state. Currency crisis, high capital, treasure. I said it. Unfortunately, I was asked by, once upon a time, we used to have in France a planning institute. And my research team was part of the research entity of the planning, and I was asked, what are the consequences for economic governance of Europe of the euro? And I wrote, I ran a big meeting, a group for my colleagues, and we concluded that without a form of income policy and change in the stability and growth pact, the European zone was incoherent institutionally, and it is back in 1999. I allied with my British sceptic about Europe. So Colin Cochet edited a wonderful book, and in this book I developed the idea the policy mix in Europe will be bad for anybody, for Germany, for the South. So if you do not develop new instruments, the system is totally incoherent. The winners will complain and the losers will complain. And it was very simple, by very simple argument. I will not at all present this because my vision was totally defeated. Why was it defeated? Because clearly you had a leading interpretation. And while with my colleagues, I was trying to develop a political economy of the transformation of institutions, all macro has been evolving toward a wonderful new theory. The big culprit is Robert Lucas, the award they gave him the Nobel Prize. Demand management is nothing. Now we can prevent any recession. Everything is supply-side. So it was, say slow, rehabilitated. We don't need demand management. Let's go incentive in order to promote growth. And it was the foundation of the new macroeconomics we have been using in Europe. And second, Olivier Blanchard is much more clever than I. As you know, he's now chief economist of IMF. I was totally amazed when, in March 2008, he published The State of Macro is Good. We had fights with Keynesians, but now we share the same framework, the same methodology. So what is very interesting, let me stress, it will help you to understand my second lecture. Macroeconomists were very glad because they found a compromise between Keynesian and new classics. If we do agree, we are scientific, therefore it is the end of macro. So what is very interesting, the Keynesian
had been admitting that Keynesianism was an imperfection of the model of Arras. What a victory for Chicago, because it is Keynes was a major case of a more general mechanism, and they were very happy to be part of the compromise, but they were all wrong. And I will then develop the seven representations that explain the severity of the crisis of Europe. Due to the mental maps, so when we started, nobody's perfect, we are very close to Marxist idea. Social relation, national interest. And the more I study, the more I think that people develop in their head, in order to represent capitalism, is crucial. It can even change their conception of national interest. For example, I can have no time to develop, you can have a representation of national interest, which is totally opposed to the objective of fulfillment of the maximization of the welfare of the society. The first representation is this victory of macro policy. You have a wonderful theory. So I started my career in doing this kind of wonderful model. Money, you have an helicopter pouring money. There are no banks. When you have the Lehman Brothers, you have some problems. You have no banks. You have no wealth, no stock market. You have a full employment. If you have no wage rigidity, then you have full employment. Go and tell to the Greek or the Spanish or the Portuguese, they accepted wage concession. Why is it huge employment? Impossible. Something, irrationality of government. Third, with the euro, we have symmetric shock coming from the world economy. If I have a common policy, therefore, I can react to all the common shock. And the idiosyncratic shock that explains that Greece is not as competitive as Germany, I think it details, compared with the idea that now, with the shield of the euro, we can react to the vagaries of the world economy. Fourth hypothesis, wonderful. Firms are rational, yes. If you are looking carefully, multinational all over Europe adapted to the strategy. Now, the risk of exchange rate variation shift. But they applied this to governments. And the reasoning was the following. The euro is not at all an optimal monetary zone. Lack of mobility of workers, lack of budgetary solidarity, but governments, knowing that it is irreversible, will undertake all the reforms in order to stay in the euro. Look at Greece. Because the government was to pay, the only politics of government was fulfilling with economic rationality, which was a huge endeavor, right, to suppose. And last for all, you have a representative European economy. If I were Portuguese, I would like to belong to the representative. By the way, it has been proved by Anna Kerman that the representative economy is shifting at each and every level, so it does not exist. But clearly, in a sense, we are supposing that the southern productive sectors were as competitive as the northern economy in Finland, in Netherlands, or in Germany. So clearly, you see all these hypotheses have a wonderful vision, and I was interested to see that the politicians love this. They did not understand this, but the conclusions were very nice. The euro is irreversible, and economic rationality will make the transformation of society in order it to make beer. Please go and sleep, there is nothing to do. The drama is that neo-Schumpeterian, you have increasing autonomy to scale. Maybe you have specialization of industrial products in the north, specialization in service and self-driving economy. Paul Krugman, economic geography. You have aggregation effects in such a way that when you organize the stability of exchange rate, you redeploy the specialization, benefiting industrial organization in the north and service economy in the south. Last but not least, post-Keynesian having said, be careful. When you liberalize financial market, you create financial instability. So you are alternative vision. Yeah. And last but not least, specialists of public finance say, the growth and stability of 3% of public deficit over GDP, 60% of stock of debt, has not any meaning. We should have the golden rule, that is to say, equilibrium of current expenditure and taxes, and the investment part of the budget is financed by emitting obligation. But nobody resists to this. So total irrationality of the exact criteria of the stability pact. Econometricians have been running econometric study, and with high probability, quite all the country, and especially in this case, after the German reunification, each country was supposed to be blocked by the Stability and Growth Pact. Last but not least, political economy. You organize competition at the European level. You pay. You have the same exchange rate. You have the same exchange rate of interest. The only two left is tax and spending public policy. And the naivete, the fragility, was to imagine that political economy should be governed by the long-run insertion into the euro, not by solution to domestic problems, due to the fact that, for example, the loss of competitiveness was compensated by public deficits. So what is very interesting in this case, you have a struggle in the academic world, and this victory is allowed to politicians in order to have a very smooth transition, at least in terms of expectation towards the euro. Second huge hypothesis is that you can make a pure economic model. And what is shocking, everybody recognizes that with the euro, you are pulling sovereignty. And sovereignty is an issue of political debate. But it was simply interpreted as a technicality, how to stabilize exchange rates. Whereas when you shift from stability of exchange rate to common monetary policy and irreversible exchange rate, you are changing the political regime. Therefore, the only two solutions are the following. In all the member states of euro, you had a political alliance to sustain the presence in the euro. And since we have now 19 countries, the probability of each having an agreement is very small. Or you are such a powerful movement that you create at the Brussels level or Frankfurt level an arena where the political debates are European, and you form a new majority translating domestic political life to society-wide at the level of Europe. None of them... So what was the result? In this diagram, you have a kind of the dream of a self-fulfilling mechanism of, I decided the euro, and euro is three things. Common exchange rate, common monetary policy, and interdiction to monetize the national treasury bonds, which was unnoticed by the people. People realize that they are losing the ability. Bank de France can no more buy French treasury bonds, which changed dramatically the way of the crisis. And you had a survey of public opinions. What was very interesting, they were back in 97 in France. So the crisis can be explained by a very, very long, long-lasting roots. Large firms, high-skilled workers, and multinationals were enthusiastic about the euro. It is a possible way of organizing the management of production, of sales, of finance at the level of Europe. Welfare dependents, low-skilled civil servants were thinking that euro will be bad for them. You, as you know, in Netherlands and in France, we organized a referendum. And the losers were, the majority of the population decided that the losers were overrunning the winners. And the mechanism is the following. The elite decided to go to the parliament and not to the referendum in order to withstand, to resist to the fact that people, they are highly conscious that you are the loser and winners. The wonderful counterexample is Sweden. In Sweden, you had a series of commissions. What are the consequences of euro for agriculture, for university, for competitiveness, and so on? And so they gathered a huge amount of economists, and the outcome was the following. Small economic gains, very unlikely, huge political costs, we stay out of the euro. So we understand clearly that the process of organization, deliberation, played a role. And the economists have been selling the idea it is a purely technocratic move to go to the euro. And therefore, what happened, what was bound to happen, happened. In the sense, the vision of the optimists were the following.
You have such a wonderful policy mix in the value of Europe. You have a new way of doing the economic policy. You have a wonderful economic performance, more employment, more growth. All the people are looking no more at Paris, but they look at Brussels. You have the constitution of a political arena, and this is fulfilling a kind of Europeanization of domestic politics. But the big drama is that as soon as you have poor economic performance, you have the other side. People notice that you have a democratic gap, of course, you have delegation, but clearly you have a loss of control, direct control. You have poor economic performance, and therefore the other side is a premium to anti-European movements. So clearly, by huge optimism about the constituency, it was a kind of functional idea. Since the euro is here, you need to organize the political debate at this level. The reality has been no. Today, people only trust their domestic parliament a little more than the parliament in Brussels or in Strasbourg. And therefore, the nationalist backlash is the direct consequence of the fact that you have been putting politics as the consequence of economics. What a wonderful mistake. And this is deeply inserted into the mind of many political decisions. Third reason. I was totally amazed when I read the first monetary report of the European Central Bank. Because you find everything except the evolution of credit. But what was very interesting, you have a typical monetarist evolution. If the money supply is under control, everything is fine. I get bubble, a credit bubble in Spain. It's not important. I am keeping the monetary supply and the interest rate. It was an error. And second, if I have price stability, then I have financial stability. The finance is not in the model. But I think that it's like money. Finance is very important and very happy. So what is very interesting, they were backward by one century. All monetarists before the revolution of Keynesians. And therefore, you are the following. By the way, this curve is the refinancing rate of treasury bonds, Germany, Spain, Portugal, and France. And I was amazed by two mistakes. The international financial community was thinking that Greece treasury bond was as good as the German one. And to be frank, it's surprising because the exchange rate was fixed, but the ability to tax the citizen was very different. So, okay. And second, the rate of inflation of 2% will be the same in Germany and Greece. As you know, you had cumulative divergence of inflation in countries. So, first mistake of the macroeconomist. Second mistake of the financier, you have a no bailout clause in the Maastricht Treaty. Not any government can rescue another one. But all these people interpreted this as Greece is in the euro, therefore, whatever the weakness of competitiveness, they will be rescued, which was again a total misreading of the treaty. So I was again very, when I saw that this is not possible. These people are. Why? Because we are simply optimizing short-term speculation without any feeling about the long-term evolution of interest rates. So again, you have the victory of the short-termism of finance. I don't care the future of euro. I'm gaining via speculation using this rate. Second, since the beginning of the euro, on the post of time, everybody was obliged to have a trade balance in equilibrium. As you know, as soon as the euro is developing, you have surplus in Northern Europe, especially in Germany, and a huge deficit in Southern Europe. And the bank for the North pay for the deficit of the South.
So, again, but it's very interesting, by lack of concern with credit, you interpret as a very good phenomenon, but it's in fact compensating the structural weakness of the fact that employment of high value added is going to the north, and low value added jobs go to the south. And the big difference is, of course, the fact that you removed the constraint of trade balance. And since, again, the fellow macroeconomist had the Paul Krugman 79 vision of the crisis, you have perfect mobility of capital, you have a deficit, and fixed exchange rate. The crisis comes from the fact that public deficit cannot be made compatible with the large mobility of capital. And again, what is very impressive, look, Spain and Ireland had a surplus before the crisis. Of course, the bad pupil was Greece, and in some way Portugal was suffered. But the doctrine of the Commission has been, let's remove the deficit, the public deficit, and everybody is really good. Whereas the cause for many countries were in Greece, partially over public spending, but in over the region, speculation in the real estate. So what is, again, very important, the framework of this figure should be destructive of the normative vision. Everything is up to public deficit, but nevertheless, the belief in the theory is superior to the evidence of the figures. And of course, what is very interesting, when the financial markets have been sleeping, they're optimistic, pessimistic. So what is very normal, people sell the use of financial markets, is saying they detect future disequilibrium. Not at all. During all this period, you have cumulative disequilibrium in terms of competitiveness and trade balance, and the financial markets are very happy. They wake up and brutally they castigate in such a way that they have self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have 18% of interest rate, you do cause the default of the public debt. Again, you see the fact that you permit an incoherent regime and you stop it by the representation of the financial markets. Let's go to the fourth representation. It comes from the Jean Monnet method. Jean Monnet was a very gifted people, but not very democratic. He was thinking that you should try to solve problems by technocratic expertise. And then the public opinion realized. Nice! You see why? So the crisis when Wolfgang is writing on this issue is the very foundation of world integration. Technocrats know how to do things. We don't need democrats. And when you shift to monetary sovereignty, it's a huge mistake. And this I explain. Because when you have monetary integration, you need a banking union. And if somebody gets bankrupt, you need fiscal solidarity. Therefore, with money, you need full federalism. It's not simply the continuity but the fact that exchange rates are fixed. They are irreversible, or it seems nothing. No, but you totally change the system. And what is very important, economists and experts have difficulty in capturing inflection points. It seems the continuity of the past, but you have a drastic change of the mechanism. The people, the specialists of Europe, are unable to detect it. Let me represent European construction act, the construction of four public goods. The first one, we should remember that the idea of the elite in Europe, not anymore any world war, linked to the conflict between France and Germany. So clearly, it was the idea, a very naive idea by Schumpeter, that trade is making people more pacific. Or, alternative you will prefer, the economic contradiction between France and Germany had repercussion to the political. It was a very extreme and simplistic one. Therefore, they said, why not to organize the joint supply of coal and steel? So clearly it was, let's to have peace. You have to organize peaceful competition. You know, the economic competition does not turn into civil wars or European wars. So it functioned not so bad. So you extend to industrial products. Then you need to have, of course, what is directives in order to fix what is the quality of goods, and then all at the very beginning that the British, why should Bruxelles control the quality of seeds of and so on. So you have the problem that in order to have a market, you need to have the same qualification of quality. But the process go, you have economic directive, very slowly you build the system, and a kind of a silent move of Europeanization. The big drama is that the collapse of the Bretton Woods system, brutally in 71, you have flexible exchange rate. And as usual, you had a huge imbalance between North Europe and Southern Europe. The normal way has been a huge shift in the competitive advantage, not only by productive differentiation, but simply by the fact that you're overreacting of exchange rate. So the idea, why not to have a kind of the second public good should be, if you want to keep competition on the single market, you absolutely need to organize an European monetary system, in the sense you detect a central exchange rate zone in which you try to adjust by central bank intervention in order to stabilize and prevent competitive devaluation. So you understand that the monetary has not been conceived as monetary integration. We want to rescue the core public good, what is the single market. So what is very interesting, the experts see try to solve the problem of the past, and they do not realize the new problem they are realizing. And then it seems well, but back in, we are in 93, you have a huge crisis. Why? Because you have the full impact of financial liberalization. Well, in this case, clearly, it was. I was thinking about that the open system could collapse because, as usual, huge pressure to the devaluation of the Dutch mark, devaluation of lira and peso and so on. And therefore, as you understand, financial liberalization comes as an accident. The European has not been thinking, let's organize our domestic financial system. Where is an external shock? Let us to adapt. And then, nobody's perfect. All my friends at that period say flexible exchange rates are bad. We should go to rigid flexible exchange rates. For example, the good example, Argentina. You want to solve inflation. Let's one peso equals $1. Wonderful. And then you are sure that for life you will continue. So, the mindset of I'm only too old to have all the fads of my macroeconomic friends. So it was the fact. Yeah, fix is good, because then you remove uncertainty. Let's go to the euro. And the British were right. Why not to have a common and not a single one? In the sense, you have a domestic euro and you have a common one. It is now the solution proposed in order to go over the crisis. Why not? Because then you have the two effects. You play the role of competing with the dollar, but you solve the domestic problem. The people were unable to hear this mechanism. The British are part Europeans. Let's go to monetary integration. And then the French and German elites played a major role. They said, let's, we will go. As a political bargaining, then you have stability. Wonderful. But you totally forgot financial integration. The banks are not existing. The financial markets are not here. So the redeployment of finance has been much more rapid than productive readjustment. And the inner consequence has been an incredible financial instability. And hastily, you try to have banking union, solidarity. So you try to build, while the crisis in, all the institutions, to try to complete the fourth public good, what is financial stability. And for the time being, the funds are here, but they don't be mobilized. So the story of this is kind of a backward looking. We solve the problem piece by piece, and we are unable to detect the forthcoming problem. It is the major lesson from regulation. Economists try to fight the last crisis, and they don't see the new crisis, with totally new characteristics. The same thing for the French, who are trying to fight the fast war and are losing most of the case, the next war. So I think economies are similar to the French defense. Fifth, and I nearly, yes, I agree with you. what bothers me with Macron is that my dear fellow thinks that you have determinism. I have a wonderful fellow, the same of Arjun Rai, who said the law of competition is equivalent to the law of gravity. Ah, my law. Law of gravity is something. Try to... the law of competitiveness. You can go to US, you have DARPA, you can have the Chinese made. That's clearly competitive is important, but it's not the key. And so you have the idea of you have determinism. And if you lack determinism, then you have a crisis. So the question, I'm the representative of the law, obey to the law, and the crisis vanishes. So what is dramatic? They did not detect the total incoherence of European governance. I hate the word governance because a government is clear. A government can trade off between various issues and react instantaneously. Look the September 2008 crisis. In US, Mr. Paulson is convoking the people, signing it. In China, in Europe, it took 6 months for the European Commission to try to articulate something. It was governance, my lord. You have two allies, totally contradictory. So, the report I made for the Commissaire European was an economic government for Europe. It was not a mistake. A government, in the sense that you have fiscal responsibility and so on. And I will go very quickly. The key actor is fundamentally global finance. Because why? They can move 10 or 100 times the volume of the treasury bond. So you see, clearly, exchange rates are now made by financial arbitrage. So they are the key actors. European Council, poor, they try to speak to the global finance by creating all the funds that are necessary to compensate the speculation. But they are always lagging. And what's very impressive, they try to have leverage effect equivalent to that of parallel finance in order to be credible. It is, for example, the Juncker plan. You have a small 32 billion, and by leveraging, you want to transform the 450 and so on. So, again, it is very interesting. The public authorities are totally dependent from the vision of financing. Then the national governments are very split. When the Prime Minister of Spain go back to Spanish, they decide an austerity plan, whereas he has been co-deciding the austerity plan. So, again, you have divided national government, and the French government is wonderful. They decided. You decided. But the domestic discourse and the Brussels discourse are not the same. Then, European Central Bank. Mr. Draghi would like to act as a fully fledged central bank, what is to lender of last resort. It is his name. But the treaty forbids. So again, what is very interesting, it is the only federal institution, but with the limitation of the treaty, which prevents him to exert the full role of a central banker. So Mr. Draghi is trying to evolve. And last but not least, poor European Commission. See the arguments floating and try to adjust. This was the result of the long duration of the crisis until June 2008. And then, let's only two more points, and I will stop. In times of domination of finance, what is the only actor able to speak to the market? You have to look at Alan Griezmann. He was mumbling, but the financier was thinking he was very clever. The financial and conversely, therefore, you speak fundamentally to the financier, and you try to forge with them a common understanding of the situation, and then you act, or you do not act, accordingly. And this is very I like this episode. You are in the early beginning of June 2012. All you can go back to Financial Times, to Wall Street Journal. The euro is over. We are unable to decide. You look at the mismatch of European governance, how slow, how Greece cannot pay, and so on. So clearly, all the people were, because they were, the people realized that there are no pilot, no decision maker. Nobody was in charge of taking the euro. So by definition, we collapse. And then, I put immediately, you have a small private conference in London in which Mario Draghi is speaking to financiers. A small private premium. And then he say, I will do whatever it takes and it will be enough. By the way, he did nothing until last month. Okay, it is the only performative example I know. But you don't understand why all the financiers, the central bankers, and they have a duopoly. Yes, and they do not involve society. They have a kind of joint formation of representation. And he knows perfectly that it's not entitled to do so. And then he says, since the rate of interest in Greece is too high, I have fragmentation of the eurozone. Therefore, I am entitled to reduce the spread of euro bonds, economy, in order to fulfill my task of central bankers, which is a wonderful Jesuitic argument. It was not in the statutes of the central bank. And we think that the euro is irreversible. And for me, I don't like the word irreversible because I'm a specialist from Argentina. And all my friends said to me, peso equals $1, irreversible. You said it. It means that you're not so sure. So in a sense, it was recognizing that maybe it could collapse. But the result was impressive. Without any action, you had a drastic revision. If I speculate against him, I will lose. So clearly, and you see again, it's a world question of representation. No traditional tool has been used. You see why I'm so impressed by representation. Nothing has changed, only to speak. And speak can, in the case of central bankers, can play a role in the micro. And so, therefore, the art of bankers is the art of manipulating expectation and fiction of the future. Clearly, it was why Greenspan was so talented. This was not simply because he was a trade economist. He was a very clever man. Read his book. He's very clever. Totally reactionary, totally libertarian, and so on, but very clever. No, he knew how to speak to the financial community and how to find a common language in order to compatibilize their joint view. Then, the last, and it is my last point, all the experts are looking the future in the backwards. Where you should look in the future. Why it is interesting? Because as you had a book not so good, but the film is very nice, by Sylvie Goulard and Mario Monti, and the contradiction of each country, Germany included, is the following. I would like to have Europe, for example, to monitor the Greek, but I don't want Europe to monitor my plans. So the idea is the following. I want to have an order, but I want to be subtracted to the order. So I would like to have, for example, the Prime Minister of Greece wants to stay in the euro and fulfill the democratic demand of the domestic, even if you are incompatible. So what is very interesting, you have a big tension between, yes, I discard part of my sovereignty, but then I get the protection of the euro. No, I want the massive impact of the euro as a key currency, but I want to keep intact my own degree of freedom. If so, you have then, quasi final argument. When people hear what I will say, Boyer, you are not scientific. I can have an argument saying that econometricians trying to estimate model in order to discover the future are wrong, whereas my seventh scenario do capture some of the mechanisms which are operating. So in a sense, the idea of scientificity, to be scientific, have to be determinist, therefore I'm to be able to make forecasts. If I'm unable to make forecasts, I'm not scientific. I think it's a huge mistake of economists. And it is why I think so. An anecdote. I was in charge of making a wonderful nonlinear model with free equilibrium, full maximum estimations. Wonderful back in the 70s. And then you have the old shock. And the wonderful model I've been working 3 years with totally collapsed because all the facts did not fit with the back. So that's why I become a regressionist. I made this estimation and I was very proud of any young people. It was totally, immediately as I use it, it was totally silly. It produces more, it was reproducing the past. Exactly. It was unable to detect. And then I became regulationist. So, on a scenario, highly scientific. At least they were modest. First scenario, Mr. Draghi is the technocrat, is the modern Jean Monnet. We need to consolidate the euro, therefore, please, national government, help me. Have good sound finance. So it is a kind of knowledge-based federalism. Trust me, we need the euro. So please adjust. So in a sense, you have the idea you should be wise just to protect the public good we have been constructing. The big difficulty is that Mr. Mario Draghi is alone. He has no power to organize the French budget, the decision in Greece, and so on. So the big difficulty is his technocratic approach a solution in a period where the political organization of domestic state is very important. So clearly, it would be nice in good times, but in times of crisis, very difficult. Then you have a scenario which in that sense is very different. It is the German one. We want a federalism complying with the rules, the idea everybody is minimizing the negative externality of his own policy. And if everybody is doing so, we don't need any solidarity, any fiscal solidarity. The big drama of the solution that you make more severe the Maastricht Treaty criteria, which have been organizing the North-South divided. Because the third scenario, all my heterodox friends are in favor of this scenario. Luis Bresser Pereira from Brazil, Bruno Terre, I think in a sense Wolfram, we should recover the exchange rate. Why not to organize it silently, no? Organizing it in order to recuperate, to shift from a single currency to a common currency and try to recover the dynamism of domestic production in order to recover political legitimacy. And then, 2 decades ahead, we tried to launch again the euro. And everyone is saying, it is the only solution. We should make it not waiting for the crisis. Alas, all governments are short-termism. They tell lies to themselves. And therefore, the overall solution should be generalized protection. When it's a panic, one country out of the... And then you have a kind of... beggar my neighbor mechanism in which everyone is trying to escape. And you could imagine in this case a dramatic episode in which the domestic costs are enormous in terms of economy, political instability, given by the lack to anticipate the fact that you need to recover a lot of autonomy in the formation of the policy mix. Here comes the British. I always think they are the most clever. They know how to master Europe. Because they could then propose, hey, look, why not to have a free trade zone? Look, in NAFTA, they don't have monetary stability, they are just money. So, and then, if you want to make another battleship, make it. You want to make a rocket, so you have free market plus ad hoc partnership. It should be a wonderful solution because it removes the catastrophic of nationalist movement. And the drama is about the poor federalists that take democratic ideology for granted. But no, we need first to construct democracy. And then, starting from democracy, which will be our economic efficiency. Last but not least, what will be the next step of the crisis when international finance wakes up and try to understand? Of course, the exposition of finance to Greek default is far lesser. So the situation is not the same, so clearly. But I think we are the major actor saying for one reason for another, a very irrational way. So in a sense, it could happen for a small accident in the brain of somebody, which could precipitate this neuron against the neuron. And to be frank, this scenario had been invented 2 years ago. And I'm sad because we are still in the first scenario. Mr. Draghi will rescue the world. To be frank, I do not understand the behavior of financing. Here we are. I do not understand this incredible stability. So let's conclude. Ah, yes. Why? When Mrs. Merkel meets the Premier of Greece, in spite of a wonderful translation, they do not understand. Because their cognitive maps are very different. In the south of Europe, a contract is just a starting point for bargaining, like maybe in Soviet Union. Not contract, but it is simply the initial point of bargaining. In the north of Europe, a contract is a contract. Second, what is the social tradition? In the south of Europe, including France, which capitalism is a contested issue. So some of the left want to remove the capitalism. Whereas you go to the north, you go at best to negotiated capitalism, an expression for the Danish capitalism. It says that capitalism is here. We try to adjust to it, but not a ideological conflict. Third, political organization. In the south, you have a weak state. The proof is that they cannot have taxation, they cannot organize public goods, you have clientelism, whereas in other social democratic, you need, by democratic control, you need a much more efficient state. Therefore, when we speak about state, one is a clientelist state, the other one is a social democratic state. So the same word, but different meanings according to them. A degree of internationalization, the north of Europe lives out of world interrogation. Greece have very few products to sell, especially because the fleet and the maritime transport are out of the national account. So you have a big two different attitudes. Last but not least, what is the vision of Europe? For the north, a rule-based integration. For the south, Europe was a way of acquiring modernity and democracy. So you understand, same terminology, but totally different interpretation. And again, the semantic is very misleading. Same word, totally different vision. And therefore, so in a sense, back of an image, the euro was a convergence. But if you prolong the convergence, you have the difference. What the people were thinking, we have the convergence and we stay at this point. No. History continues. And to be continued, then you have a fight between an incredible number of logic, monetary stability. This actor is very important because he has the power to act on anticipation and fictional expectation. You had Germany would play the role. Without Germany, the euro would have collapsed. So clearly, you have to take care of the German vision of the conflict. In the Southern Europe, you need absolutely to take into account the democratic demands of the citizen. In case of Greece, you organize pauperization. So clearly, it is a concern to be addressed. Then you have the British and Lets organize a flexible Europe. So again, you have a totally different, a totally pragmatic vision. It's not federalism, it's not free market. It's a way to find mutually beneficial agreement. And you have federalist Europe. Let's have the idea that, in terms maybe convenient is right, maybe the national state is over. And the federalists try to represent the future. And what is very, very important, the ultimate actor is international finance. And let me point out two scenarios and I will stop. The first one is that you German tries to imply fiscal discipline. You have a problem of political legitimacy. And then the UK say, let's go from Europe to a free trade zone. Or you have the dream, Mr. Draghi allies with the few federalists left, and through a slow process that will take many, many decades, if the financier does not wake up, they will end up in a new form of euro. Many other scenarios have been cancelling, so you imagine how the representation will play a role on top of national interest. Sorry for having... so long. But you see, the question, the issue is very complex. And that is a drastic simplification. Thank you.